Hey, I'm Naomi, I'm 35, newly married, and all I keep hearing is, how many kids have you got? Or, oh, you really need to start thinking about babies. And it only gets harder, you know. Yeah, I do know, thanks. But what I don't know is if I actually want a baby. So here is a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network in which I'll talk to new mums, non-mums, baby wanters, baby rejectors, to figure out whether to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I speak to Tom to give us the male perspective on IVF, which him and his wife went through to try and become parents.
We are waiting and waiting and waiting. We wake up at 4:45. We've done the pregnancy test, and that minute after it is just the longest minute that you can possibly go through.
Joining me on this journey is my sister and bestie, Camilla.
Hello.
Hi.
So, since your podcast fame... Who has been sliding into the DMs?
That makes it sound sexy. Like if you think about somebody sliding into your DMs, normally it's because they want to chat you up or say how fit you look in that outfit that you wore on Saturday night. No, since I started doing this podcast, the only people sliding into my DMs are people who want to tell me in great detail about childbirth. Now, it is very lovely that complete strangers who are listening to the podcast are so compelled to tell me this stuff, but I have never heard more chat about being dilated or the amount of pain that you're in or things gushing and things like, and it's like I've gone, I'm not sure if I want to have a baby. And then so many people have gone, well, here's what happened to me. And I go, okay, this is making me less sure about having a baby. You also tagged me in a photo of pumpkins where somebody had cut holes into the pumpkins, which were the sizes of dilation throughout labour.
Yes, I did.
And it makes me want to triple cross my legs like eagle pose in yoga because that's too big.
To be fair, I was shocked. I was like, really?
Well, you saw Chester's head after he came out, so that's how big it was.
Yeah, but I didn't see down there, and it wasn't like a pumpkin with a face. These things had eyes, man.
If only it was, it might have been less traumatic. Did you let Ed go down?
Sorry, hang on, sorry.
No, as in, did Ed...
Is this the sliding into the DMs chat? Or what happened here?
Did Ed go to the business end?
Well, he didn't really have to go business end because I had Chester in the water. So, you know, the business end was in the bath.
Okay.
Doing its business.
But surely you can still see through water.
I know, yeah, but I was on all fours, like, no, you couldn't see.
Oh, that's a double for you on all
fours. Yeah, sorry,
though,
guys. Oh, God. Sorry for this visualisation for you.
Shall I read you one of my favourite labour messages?
Yes, please do.
If you want to slide into the DMs, please do. I mean, I'm saying like, don't give me too graphic, but I mean, I'm kind of like, yeah, give me it. At To Baby or Not on Instagram and on Twitter, or just search To Baby or Not To Baby on Facebook. So Lisa says, my eldest was 8 pounds, 8 ounces. Labour was 32 minutes in total.
What?
My second was 9 pounds, 10 ounces. My labour was 16 minutes. The pushing part, only 4 minutes.
Even I'm crossing my legs now.
In my experience, though, big baby equals easy and fast birth.
I mean, for her, whoa, that is so quick.
16 minutes, 4 on the push. Sign me up for one of those.
Well, yeah, but I'm just a bit worried about the amount. Did you reply and say how many stitches did you have? That's what I'd have replied.
No. Let's not talk about that as well, because it's all well and good for them to share their information with us, but for us to speculate about the level of...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, let's not talk about your stitches. Relax, a bit invasive.
Okay, so joining me to chat IVF from the male perspective is my lovely friend Tom Hilton. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you.
Okay, great. So you have two adorable daughters.
Most of the time.
Well, I only see the pictures of them, so they're permanently adorable as far as I can see.
You get the Facebook side of my kids. That's the side that I want to share.
Yeah, exactly. So talk to me about how you ended up with those two gorgeous girls.
Okay, so my wife is a little bit older than me, 8.5 years older than me, and she was getting towards the upper end of 30s, and we had always spoken about wanting kids. And because blokes invariably have a mental block around commitment and marriage and kids and what have you. And I'm a little bit younger than her. I had that problem.
Yeah, but you are punching though.
Yes. So that's ultimately the thing that decided the factor of this is what we need to do and what have you. So we got to the point where we got married and we wanted to have children. And we'd been trying for a couple of years, unsuccessful. And
so just a quick one there. So what age were you / she when you started trying?
Good question. She was about 36, I think.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that is because that's kind of where... So I'll be 36 end of this year.
Yeah.
So the likelihood is when we start trying, I'm 36. So I'm already into that geriatric category that the doctors so like to put us in.
Aren't they kind?
Which I get that it's for medical terms, but it's also like, you don't need to tell me that.
I think probably 36, 37 she was, and we tried everything and it wasn't successful. So we went down the route of IVF.
How long do you have to try for before you then go and maybe see a doctor and say, we're trying, what's happening?
I think it could be anything above 6 months. I'm not 100% sure of the parameters, but I think the earlier you go, it's better to be turned away and say you haven't really been trying long enough, or have you tried this when you've spoken to a professional, rather than not and waiting too long.
Well, I didn't know if I should lie, but then I thought they might hear this podcast and go...
Well, we'll see how many listeners this gets first, shall we? And then by that time, it'll be too late. Like I say, we'd had a couple of years of trying. We went to have the initial fertility chats and they referred us to...
Edit, I'm just quickly jumping in. We've had to remove the name of the clinic because what you're about to hear is pretty shocking. So hold on to your hats. Back to Tom.
And we went in there to their fertility clinic, and you do all the little bits and pieces where you fill out a load of forms, you give the right samples and what have you. And I was there in the little room where you do what you need to do to create a sample. And on the walls of the little room were cartoons. And these cartoons were basically poking fun at people who were infertile. One of them had a man who was hopping up and down with an angry face with a speech bubble, I demand a recount, in the fertility clinic, and the nurse is there with the little board laughing at him.
No!
The second one is a cartoon of Superman sat on a bench with his head down, looking very dejected, and another nurse saying, well, you would wear skin-tight lycra all day, every day.
What the hell?
And so, for me, it wasn't the right message that I felt needed to be portrayed to people who were going through something that was tough enough already as it is.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
That's like not what I thought you were going to say at all.
I said to my wife, I don't want to be in here because this isn't the right circumstances. I mean, I've not been back there for years and years, so hopefully those things no longer exist because someone's seen that it's not helpful in any way, shape or form. That, in essence, allowed us to make what was the best choice that we possibly could have done. Because it's a postcode lottery for IVF treatment, depending upon where you live, you get one shot on the NHS or you get three shots. In the Derbyshire region, you get one go on the NHS for free. So with that, you get the opportunity to choose your clinic. And so we went to Nurture Fertility and we walked in there, and it was very much like going from a budget airline to business class. You know, you've gone up through the little curtain, you've gone up the stairs, and all of a sudden you're in a place where you think, I don't quite feel at home here, but I'd love to feel at home here. And we were talked through all the wherefores and what you do in order to go through the process, because my wife Heather was on the upper limit of the age range. We were asked whether we would want one embryo or two embryos put back in. Give us the best possible chance. We went for two, and you go through the whole process, which from a bloke's point of view, you feel relatively helpless, but you can help in the same way. You're not going through the down regulation, which is the daily injections at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It's quite traumatic because we're not really needle people. I don't find me a needle person. There's no such thing, really, is there? Someone who say diabetics will be able to empathize with that because they're injecting regularly. They know their way around those sorts of things. This was an alien thing to us, and I was doing all her down regulation for her. She changed her diet completely.
What does down regulation mean?
Down regulation is basically where you prepare your body for the eggs being taken, being fertilized and put back in.
Okay.
It's to basically to make your body the most hospitable it possibly can be.
Yeah. Went to my local co-op today and they normally have a reduced aisle of wines where all of the wines have just got reduced stickers on. They're not out of date, they're just reduced. It's my favourite thing to do, is go and hoard a load of wine. Today I found out they've stopped doing the reduced aisle of wines. I was so dismayed, I had to text my cousin who works at the co-op to say what the hell has happened. And I've then realised, how can I possibly go 9 months without having wine if I'm so mortified at the thought of not having it that I have to text people about it? It's not boding well.
And so you go through a cocktail of drugs every single day. You're told to eat as much like oily fish and spinach and those sorts of things that are rich in iron so that it helps your diet. And Heather did that. She completely changed everything that she ate. She was unbelievable with that sort of thing. Complete lifestyle change. And also, don't do anything that will exert you. Well, we moved house during our down regulation. And she never lifted a box. She never lifted a box. That's one thing you can do as a bloke. You can do everything else. And so, like I say, she never lifted a box. She was sat on the sofa the whole time. I packed everything. I moved it. Fortunately, we're only going about 250 yards down the road, which worked fine for us. And she went through those injections daily and what have you. The other thing that happened during that was I was being best man at my mate's wedding in Brisbane. So during the down regulation, she had 2 weeks of injections, had to start doing them myself while I was in Brisbane for 9 days.
Good
and then
you.
Back again.
What a guy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some things you just can't miss. But we got back and then there's one final injection that you do just before the eggs are taken away to be fertilised and what have you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've seen the film Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know, where they're assembling rifles. And he's like, Gump, why did you assemble that rifle so fast? You told me to, drill sergeant.
Why did you put that weapon together so quickly, Gump?
You told me to, drill sergeant.
Jesus H. Christ. This is a new company record.
It's like putting together a rifle. You've got like a set of instructions. Like, that goes in there. That's on top of that. And then this thing goes through this tube. And then that's your last injection. Bang, and it goes.
And so you are responsible for making sure that this last one that is the biggie is correct.
But you're responsible for everything. You get the proper training. People show you how to work everything.
Okay.
And you practice all the down regulation on oranges and stuff. I've had this a little
actually?
Bit before. Yeah. I've had this a little bit before because I've got a nut allergy, so I've got an EpiPen. And so I know how to use it, touch wood. I've never had to.
Yeah.
You go through all the proper training and stuff. So it's not quite as scary as you would think. And then when you get to the big one at the end, it's like, I know how to do this.
I've got this.
And
now.
I was kind of looking forward to it in a weird way because I was like, yeah, I want to play with that toy. Get yourself a sharps box. It's absolutely rammed of everything and then dispose of them as and when.
So I'm just walking my dog, Troy, to the park. And I've just walked past two pregnant ladies. And for the first time in my life, I looked at their bumps and thought, oh, I think I'd quite like one of those. And that has never happened before. And if you're wondering why I sound, just had a filling. So half of my face is numb. I'm walking down the street talking to myself. This is my dedication to the podcast, mate. Dedication. But yeah, first time I've seen a pregnant bump and thought, I quite like one of those.
We were pretty confident about it because what we thought the problem was would have been basically you go from the ovaries to the womb and you have the fallopian tube there. It's like there was roadworks on the motorway.
Okay.
Heather had to have one of them taken out, which was a relatively painful operation.
Holy moly.
She had one of hers taken out, which was pretty much badly damaged beyond repair. And the other one was on the verge of kind of not working altogether. So we were pretty confident that if we could get those fertilized embryos into the right place, as opposed to them having to do the natural bit of travelling.
Travelling, yeah.
We'd be confident. So we get to the situation where those embryos are taken. I've done what I need to do in a room where there is nothing offensive, which is just a blessing. You know, that's what you need, isn't it? It's just a blessing. And
who'd have thought? No, but you know, genuinely in that situation, who'd have thought that was the thing that you were looking for? Was just nothing offensive on the walls in here, thanks.
Do you know what? It's just amazing that's something that they thought about. Who would have thought that would be what you'd need? But yeah, you do what you need to do in that situation, and then they are taken away. They're done in the petri dish overnight and what have you, and then you come back. And we got the option of whether we did natural IVF, which I can't remember what that's called, or you can do something that's called ICSI, where you have the sperm that is put directly into the egg. It's like it's basically inserted for you.
Okay.
Mine were quite lazy, apparently, so that was the situation that we went for.
Give them all the help they can get.
Yeah. You know, like I say, we had one go at it. The one thing I've neglected to mention is we had what's called an endo scratch as well, which helped to improve our chances. They said, you know, you've got around about 22% chance of it being successful based on all your criteria and learning about us. So they said, right, we've got a procedure that's £500 that you don't have on the NHS, but it'll increase your chances. And we went, okay, by how much? They went, about 2.5%. We went, yeah, we'll have it, because like I said, we get one go on it. Yeah. An endo scratch is basically, for anyone who's not familiar, it roughs up the lining of your womb to make it a bit more...
That sounds really unpleasant. That's like actually making me wince and cross my legs a little bit.
Well, apparently it's a relatively painless thing. I mean, okay. It's obviously painless for me because I'm a bloke, but for her it was relatively painless too. The only way I can kind of compare it is, you know, when you buy a new pair of suede shoes or a leather-soled shoes,
yeah.
First thing you do is put them on your hands and you go and rub them on a house wall,
yeah,
don't you?
You've got to scuff them up.
So that you're not going to slip on the dance floor when you're busting a move. That's the only way that I can kind of explain it to people. So we've gone through the extraction, we've had the endo scratch, Heather's had the fallopian tube removed, so that makes it completely irrelevant, and it's going in there, and you're in there into the room where your expert is basically putting them in, and it's the usual, you know, legs akimbo.
You say usual, I have no idea.
Well, what you'd expect, I think.
Okay,
I think
yeah.
It's what you'd expect. Legs akimbo, towel over the top, and then a man between your wife's legs putting your hopeful embryos back in. And you can see it on a monitor, and he's there on the monitor, and we'll never forget this. He just went, looked at the monitor, goes, there I am, look, there I am. And you can see this little thing waggling about on the screen. It's like, I know where you are. There I am.
And you're like, oh, yeah, we're wanting him to do this.
And me and Heather are like, what's going on here? Then he goes, doop, and you see a little bubble. There you go, that's Elvis. That's Costello. And in they went.
Did he actually say that?
Those were his exact words. Those are his exact words. Never forget it. Never forget it.
God.
So if there were two boys, you know, you were thinking, we'll call them what we like. I'm not going to call them that.
Maybe so, Elvis is a middle name.
Absolutely not.
So obviously Elvis and Costello would have been wonderful names for the twins had they not been girls.
I absolutely love it.
Did you, with Chester, have any names that you used whilst he was Bump?
I wish I did, actually, now. It was more just things like Sweet Pea and Darling.
So cliche.
But Emma, my friend Emma, so she didn't know what she was having either. And her...
It was a baby.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah. But they didn't know if it was a boy or girl.
Okay.
All right. But when it was kicking, her and her husband used to call it Larson after the football player.
Because it had a good boot.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then when the baby was born, it was a girl. And they were like, what can we call it? And they decided to call it Zara. Zara Larson.
Amazing.
So that happens. And then 6 weeks later, we are waiting and waiting and waiting. We wake up at 4:45 on the day when they tell you that this is the earliest you can
go
you
and
can
have a
do
look
it.
To see if Elvis and Costello are still going strong.
We've done the pregnancy test. And that minute after it is just the longest minute that you can possibly go through.
What was the ratio of nerves, excitement, fear, like that morning when you're going, okay?
It's very hazy. It's very difficult to remember.
Yeah.
It was one of those where you just cannot wait. You just can't wait to do it. Nothing stands in your way. You can't sleep anymore. This is the morning where it's going to happen. You've been counting it down for a few days and there's pressure on and you're worried, you're concerned. We'd kind of steeled ourselves because we'd been unlucky before. It's like, we don't know what's going to happen. And then you do it. We went into a separate room. We left the test in the bathroom. We went back into our bedroom and waited and waited and waited.
Did you timer it?
Absolutely. You either did it. Right, that's it. Walked into the bathroom and I can just remember hitting the roof, just jumping up and down. I remember my legs were about where my chest was, you know, like those, just, it was unbelievable. I was so relieved and so excited, and the terror doesn't hit you at that point. You're just relieved that everything that you've kind of gone through over those 2 years has been worth it. But even then, you still know that it's only the start of a long trail through pregnancy. but you've got a start and you've kind of gone above a hurdle that you hadn't been past before, which was just stunning.
Yeah.
We went into the clinic and we did the scan because they do them early when you're IVF to make sure everything's okay. And we see a little jelly bean just vibrating. Brilliant, amazing. There's a heartbeat. I can remember that. And then the woman said, and I can just see if I can see something. I think I've seen something else. And we were like, oh, okay. Yes, there's another one. And that was outstanding. Just unbelievable to say. We just thought, this hasn't happened to us. Everything goes right from here, touch wood. We have a ready-made family and we've got everything we need. That was always my ambition as a kid. I mean, talk to me as a small child. What do you want to do? Oh, I want to be a sports broadcaster. I want to talk about football for a living or whatever. But ultimately, if someone hooked me up to a lie detector test and said, what are your ambitions? Do you want to be a sports broadcaster? It would have been, eh. And eventually would have got to the truth. My only ambition was really to be a dad, just because of the relationship I've had with my parents and my dad in particular. And to get that opportunity was just sensational. Stunning.
Oh, Tom, that makes me feel like I'm going to cry.
Well, it's an emotional thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's an
emotional thing. It really is.
After that, you do your regular scans and everything. Everything was fine. The pictures that we've got of Heather getting enormous because she's just under 5 foot. She won't thank me for saying that because she is just under 5 foot. She's tiny and she looked like something out of Alien. She looked like something out of Alien. Just
yeah, but
it was unbelievable. It just stuck out that she didn't put weight on anywhere else. It was just like you've got two living humans in you, and it was just outstanding. But the one thing through all this, the one thing to remember with anybody, if you take nothing else away from the chat that we've had, is shop around. Make sure that you get the option of your clinics, which you will get if you're thinking of going through it. If you're at the stage where you're doing IVF. You get one go on it. You can go to places that are normally private because they take NHS patients. The one that we went to is a private clinic, but we got our go on the NHS. And it's important that you feel somewhere where you feel like you're their number one priority. And that's what we did.
Yeah. Do you know another piece of advice that I would have? If you are going to that hospital that you went to, take a shredder. And if you find those posters on the walls, take the bloody things down and shred them.
I sincerely hope they're not there anymore.
So do I. I can't believe that ever at any time in our lifetimes, somebody went, well, that's a good idea to put on the wall in there.
I'll show you them after this at some point. I've got them in my Google Drive, but ultimately, that's water under the bridge. I've got 2-3-year-old little girls now who are testing in very, very different ways.
Yes, they are, but they are heaven. They are just, ooh, I'm not this. Oh, for my whole life, I've definitely wanted to be a mum, which I do think I have in some ways. But then as I've got older, you kind of get more selfish and you think, oh, and I've seen everyone else go through it and looked at how hard it is and you go, ooh. But I look at the pictures of your girls and think, yeah, I want a piece of that.
Yeah, they're all right. Did you see the one last night I put on Facebook of them asleep?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's the best. When they're asleep and you can do whatever you did before they were here.
I mean, they're matching pink.
I don't mean that.
They're matching pink builders' uniforms. I feel like it's going to be a hard one to top when they were helping the builders with your kitchen.
Yes. They were completely useless. So we sacked them pretty quickly.
And then you put them to sleep and went, oh.
Where's the beer? I need the beer.
Naomi.
Camilla.
Why are you picking lots of people to talk to that have beautiful twins that are angels? Why?
Because I want those ones. So if I surround myself with people like that, it will send a message to the universe that I will also have beautiful twins.
Do we need to round up to baby or not to baby now and just get you pregnant with twins? I feel like we've hit a wall.
No, because isn't that ludicrous, though, that actually, I don't know if I want to have a baby, but if I do, I want to. What a ridiculous thing to think.
This is what I've been saying all along. Finally, there's that light bulb. Ding.
Why do I think that? I think it's just, that's just me, though, isn't it? I'm just like an all or nothing person.
I do get the kind of going through it once, and especially with all the chat around becoming a geriatric mum and with it being harder as you get older. So actually, if it is harder and you then decided you wanted another one, it probably would be better if you already had two.
Yeah, exactly. And also, because we're sisters and like, obviously I love you, but I feel like it would be nice for if I have a kid for it to have a sibling. God, look at how much I'm procrastinating about the decision of having one. If the decision is made that there are two, great. It saves me one more decision.
Yeah, I'm going to find someone that had twins that said it was horrific. No, no, not really.
No, but do you know what? On a serious note, I do want a regretter. I want a regretter for the podcast. I want someone that goes, I regret.
Yeah,
not,
someone
not twins, just a baby.
Someone that's open to talking about it as well. Well, that's hard. We don't want their child listening when they're older.
Or be anonymous. Now. Tweet me, at a baby or not. I'll keep you a secret. But also put you on the podcast.
So with you already approaching, sorry to say it again, geriatric status.
Piss off.
How do you feel about the fact that it might take a long time for you to conceive?
It probably will, won't it? It does for most people. But then my other fear is that actually I know people where they've gone, oh, it's going to take a year, so we'll start trying now, and then bang, you're pregnant. And you're like, oh, damn.
I was going to say, you say it does for most people, but most people I know, it was quite quick.
Most people I know, it wasn't, because geriatric.
Oh, right. Jerry, he's there again.
The our old friend, Jerry. Jezza.
Yeah, well, it's different for everyone, isn't it?
Mm. The thing with me as well is that it will annoy me if it takes ages, because if I've made the decision to do it, I want it now. Like, if I've made the decision to do it, I'm like, okay, I want to be pregnant now.
This is exactly the answer I thought you were going to give me. When I asked you the question, I was like, I already know. I already know how you'll feel if you've decided to try and then it's taking ages. You will be like, especially because you're such a control freak, I cannot control this.
I'm a control freak, I'm impatient, and I'm a perfectionist. So if it doesn't happen the first time, it's because I have done something wrong. So that's why I'll get annoyed. You can get things, can't you, that you wee on that tell you whether you're like in prime ovulation zone.
Are you going to do all that?
If I do things, I'll take it seriously. I'm going to do it properly.
Oh, oh dear.
I got time to be having sex every night.
I'm not sure if I want you to make the decision to baby, to be honest, because I'm going to be the one that you'll be on the phone to, like...
Well, we've established this before, though. Because Dan lives away, we need to be strategic with this. We
ovulating can't... people.
Yeah, and Dan is more strategic than I am. So if I'm not getting a thing to wee on to tell me if it's time, he will be.
He won't be able to tell you if it's time if he wees on it.
No, I know that, you donkey. He'll be making me wee on it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was like, he's not going to know when you're ovulating.
Like he's got a little...
No, we're so in sync. We just know each other's bodies. Crying a bit at my own joke. Okay. Have you ever taken a pregnancy test?
I think you know I have.
I don't think...
Have I ever told you? I feel like I've done a few.
This sounds really bad, but it's kind of a given that most people, you know, have taken one at some point.
Because you missed your pill or you didn't pull out.
Oh, wow. TMI, TMI, TMI.
Okay, abort.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like I've gone a bit red now.
You have gone a bit red.
Anyway, have I ever had to do a pregnancy test? Yes, I have. I think since me and Dan have been together, maybe 3 or 4.
Wow. That's a lot.
And, well, if you're on the pill... Or you're on antibiotics and...
Or is there something secretly deep down inside you that goes, oh, it will make the decision for me, accidental pregnancy?
Probably yes. Mm. And actually, I had to do one not that long ago, and I did feel a bit disappointed when I wasn't pregnant.
All the ones I've ever done, it makes me sound like I've done loads. I have done a few. I've been disappointed. With Ed, that is. Yeah.
No, that makes it sound like you were disappointed with Ed. I was disappointed in you that you did not impregnate me.
No, I wasn't disappointed with Ed. It's all your fault. No.
I mean, the pregnancy tests were with your husband.
Yeah, from being
That's
with
fine.
Ed.
Fine. Both of our husbands know that we were virgins before we met them. We've never had sex with anyone else. We're entirely theirs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of my friends had to do her pregnancy test on a night out in Leeds at Tiger Tiger. Classy! I think it was probably student night as well, where it was like one where they sell you like pitchers of cocktails for £2. And obviously she couldn't have them. And so went to the toilet, was dragged, I think, to the toilets by one of our other friends and gone, we on this stick. Found out she was pregnant, stayed out, drank orange juice all night.
So did they get the pregnancy test from the loo, from one of the little... things?
No, but they should sell them in those machines. I think
they
only, no, I think they only sell Tampax and sanitary towels and condoms, but not pregnancy tests.
Yeah.
Do you know what? When me and my friends came back from Ibiza this year, there was a girl in the toilets doing her pregnancy test there, and we were like, oh my God.
How did you know she was doing a pregnancy test?
She was standing in the middle bit where all the taps were, waiting to find out if she was pregnant or not, in the airport.
Oh my God.
But we never found out if she was pregnant or not pregnant. And that still lives with me. If you did a pregnancy test.
You didn't wait.
I wasn't in there. The other girls were in there.
I'd have gone back in.
One of them tried to do a sneaky kind of phone standing there acting casual.
A sly selfie
with the woman to see whether it was positive or negative.
Whoa. Why didn't she just wait in the toilet cubicle?
What, the girl who was doing the test?
She was a show off, wasn't she?
I don't know.
You look really nervous. Do you know what I'm going to ask you?
Yes.
What percentage are you at in terms of to baby or not to baby?
I'm quite high again.
Why are you so nervous about that?
I think I must be just due on my period or something, or something hormonal is happening to me, because I'm not... I remember doing the interview with Tom and literally having tears in my eyes and like feeling the emotions that he was feeling. And when I think about how cute his kids are, I'm like, oh my God, yeah.
So?
I think I'm 90-10. Actually, that's probably an exaggeration, maybe 85-15.
This is the... Okay. Look at this overthinking.
Let me just reverse.
Too much.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Don't worry, next week I'll be back.
I was going to say, we've got quite a few episodes left to do. Are we going to creep up? Like, next week it will be, it's 91.5.
Let's
and everyone will be like, oh, I'm just not going to listen to the rest of this because it's going to go up like that. 93.5.
Follow our journey and tell us about your own on social media. At to baby or not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it really help us out, but it will guarantee that your baby will always have a lie-in after nights that you've been on the wine. Join me next time when I try to decide whether to baby or not to baby.
On the next to baby or not to baby.
I often say childless by circumstance, but my circumstances are so complicated that phrase doesn't really explain the complication.